Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio, a service of the Telewaterman Close Up Television and Radio. And it's a real pleasure to have you with us today, and we welcome you. And we've got a full day of great broadcasts coming up, so stick with us. And we're also excited to welcome, as we spotlight, Joe Carvalho of Roar Orange Business Strategies. Let's admit it, we are a society that lives to eat. In fact, we also love to eat. In fact, we are continually centering everything we do around food. It's very social and family gatherings. And, you know, even if you just sit on the couch eating food while you're watching television or, you know, a movie, it's very social. We pair everything with food. According to Joe, even eating just one meal a day can be very beneficial. This is otherwise known as intermittent fasting. You may have heard about it. It can help you burn fat and improve your metabolic health. And simply put, humans don't need to overstuff themselves with food. Joe also insists that we must greatly reduce or eliminate sugar consumption because cancer and many diseases have been linked to consuming massive amounts of sugar, as seen in the standard American diet. He suggests drinking unsweetened coffee and iced tea, if not just water. Moreover, it's a myth, he says, that cholesterol per se is bad for us when it's actually essential for good health. We need cholesterol to make hormones and to build cells. Joe also has some interesting thoughts for those of us who are on vegan diets. Take precautions on what ingredients are actually in the meatless burgers and other non-meat products. You see a lot of those on the shelves, as many are filled with sugars and vegetable oils and various chemicals. He urges us to be wise consumers and check all food labels. Clearly, food is double-edged, straight line. Both health and illness are they really are combined, and one, the result of poor health, that being illness. He's here to help. He's here to really cut through it all and sort of break it down for us and easy to apply to our lives terms, which I think is fantastic. So stick with us for the next 30 minutes, and you'll learn a lot about some great ways to get healthy again and live a balanced and happy life. Coming to us from Hollywood, Florida, here's Joe. Joe, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Jim, thank you so much for having me. It's a great honor to be on here and to share what I've learned.
Well, it's a real pleasure, and you've learned a lot, which I think is great because you've been really studying this and immersed in this for quite a long time. Tell us early on, what is it about health and nutrition and things of that nature that sort of piqued your interest early on in your own life's journey? Did you experience things in your own life where you had to get back on track to good health as well? What spurred the interest in this topic for you?
So like many people, I've had, you know, an on and off sort of interest in trying to make sure I was as healthy as possible. And then you get bogged down with the day-to-day of life and maybe things take a back seat. But my undergrad, I graduated from Concordia University up in Montreal quite a few years ago now. It's amazing how time flies. My undergrad's in exercise science. So we study nutrition, physiology, anatomy, and basically all the things that go in with, you know, being top athletes. And so this has been something that's been with me a long time, but just like a doctor that might still smoke, just because you know stuff doesn't always mean you apply it to your own health. Recently, I've had two family members that were diagnosed with cancer, and I went along for the journey with them to help and to dig up the knowledge I had. I'd spent many years as an EMT and paramedic. I then worked in cardiothoracic surgery for years, so I had a pretty solid medical background along the way. And said, you know, while I was working in the business realm, I said, I really need to try to see what I could do to help. And well, it's brought me to, let's say, a new place.
You know, that's an amazing story. And sometimes it is when we are impacted ourselves or people we care about around us, and we sort of not live the exact journey they're living, but we see and we witness it and we appreciate it and we try to help. I think it's extraordinary. And then this has led to, of course, Orange Business Strategies. Tell us about the work that you do, and how did you come up with the name for the company?
So it's a long story. I mean, really the business side, and really one of the things I do is business consulting. So I've spent quite a few years after I left the healthcare field. I was a financial planner. I did business and personal planning for a number of years. And ultimately, and I worked in corporate America. I was a corporate executive assisting small to mid-sized businesses with various needs, including business financing, insurance, and so forth. So really, I developed a strong foundation of assisting entrepreneurs and other businesses that needed help to get better. Basically, our business is our client's business, and we believe in making dreams and visions come true for these clients. Orange, by the way, how that came up was, it's interesting. We saw this new color pop up on all these cars, and we had to look it up. We thought that was an odd color. It wasn't red, and it wasn't orange. It was actually orange, and it's actually a color. And it's orange with the letter R in front of it. But we kind of took a different take because of the fact that it sounds like the word roar, like a lion roars. So we figured, let's just call it Roarange. It was more of a joke now is just kind of a fun thing. So Roarange Business Strategies, again, our goal is to empower the business owner at any level, whether it be one project or whether it's a long-term commitment. But I can tell you, it's not really why I'm here. You know, thank God, we're actually very busy. We're not really seeking to have all this new clientele. It just along the way, we realized something very important as we had, you know, this family situation, and I have my background again in healthcare. You know, people ask me, you know, how you doing? Very often my go-to answer is heart's beating, lungs are working. If not for those two things, the rest just wouldn't matter. And it's true. You know, I say tongue-in-cheek, people kind of look for me and think what I just said. And, you know, the most valuable thing in your personal life or your business is your health. If you're not healthy, the rest just isn't going to be there for you. So we felt it would be important because I have a connection to the healthcare industry still. We offer services to healthcare practitioners as far as guiding their businesses. And then I couldn't help, as people kept asking me about the things I've learned in the more recent life that I've had in helping guide family members and friends through the challenges they're having to navigate different illnesses, people said, well, I can go learn more about that. And I would give them various places to go. And I thought, you know, what if I just put something online? I didn't want to really create a whole new website. So let me put it on healthcare consulting page on our website. And it started just with that, with a few videos. We have a whole bunch now. They're categorized, and there's probably about another 100 videos that are pending. These aren't my videos. These are third party that, you know, I've basically vetted. And, you know, if I believe basically 80% of what's on there, then I'll say, well, let's put it so people can use these as reference from doctors basically throughout the country and the world that are presenting either at conferences or just on their podcast or YouTube channel, the information that I learned. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. It's incredible, the whole process. You know, when you think about it, you're able to add clarity to health and nutrition and those realms. Tell us about how you're able to do that, and what is it about your experiences and your background that allows you to give us this clarity? Because I was just having this conversation maybe a couple of days ago where there's so much confusion with everything. For example, drink milk? No, you shouldn't drink milk. Eat eggs? No, you shouldn't eat eggs. Take cholesterol medicine? No, you shouldn't take cholesterol. There's just, everybody gets so bogged down and blurred. You know, don't eat potato chips. Okay, you can eat just one. Now, again, don't eat any. So you're like, okay, some people give in and give up. They're like, you know what? Forget about it. I'm just going to do what I do, which isn't always the best. You cut through and you create this clarity in the health and nutrition realms. Tell us about how you do that and the importance to have this clarity, because again, with all the information that comes at us, it can really get overwhelming, confusing, and frustrating for people.
Sure. No, absolutely. It has been for me and everybody. I mean, trying to get the right answer. It's like a multiple choice test. And you're looking, either the answers all seem right or all seem wrong. You're trying to pick the best one. I'll start off by just, you know, having a disclaimer. I mean, we're not providing any health or, medical guidance or directives to anyone. I mean, what we're basically trying to do is say, look, you know, people should empower themselves by listening and learning and asking questions. And then they can take this information to the healthcare practitioners and they can go and challenge them with the questions and try to get the right answer for them. I think the first thing that causes confusion is that, you know, there isn't one size fits all. People come in all shapes and sizes. We all look a little different. The reality is what works for me may not work exactly the same way for someone else, but there are some foundational things. We're all human beings and we all have the same challenges and the solutions will typically overlap, right? So I'd say that's the best premise to start things off with. When it comes to, you know, trying to learn what the right answer is, the first thing is you won't find out in a minute. It might take you, like I did. I've been studying this actively now, literally for the last year and a half plus, and I modified my diet along the way, and I was dealing with many different healthcare providers, including physicians that were helping in the cancer diagnosis of my family members. And what I learned is much of the information out there is either not true or only partially true and perhaps not applicable. For example, breakfast. Breakfast means to break the fast. It has nothing to do with breaking the fast at 7, 8, or 9 o'clock in the morning. You can break your fast at 7 p.m. or at 3 p.m. You know, that's the first thing. Clearly, the companies that manufacture the quote-unquote breakfast foods have an interest in trying to make you think you have to eat breakfast in the morning, and then that needs to be separate from everything else. So that was the hardest part of the journey, was trying to really grasp what maybe wasn't entirely true. Also, many of the foods that we consider to be healthy, you mentioned eggs. I think eggs are terrific. In fact, the yolk is probably the best part of the egg, but really all parts of it has some value. The reality is we've been given information and told, this is fact. Do not eat meat. Do not eat eggs. Cholesterol is bad for you. Even if there is any sort of truth in any of that, it has been twisted in a way that people don't understand. Very often when scientific studies are published and then brought into the public realm, they'll say, well, look, in this group, they were eating meat. Look what happened to them. Yeah, but they didn't point out that they were eating, you know, horribly prepared, you know, burgers or processed meat that came out of a freezer somewhere that had all kinds of chemicals and things in them. We're not talking about a quality steak, for example, or a quality piece of ground beef. That is what was used in the study. The comparison was to an unhealthy diet. The information is skewed. Companies make a lot of money sometimes by getting by their products. Not that they're necessarily outrightly lying, but they're not always telling you the whole truth. So I think that's been the challenge with the journey, is to provide the information. People need to be willing to invest the time to watch the presentations that are out there, learn, and then make sense, and then ask questions of the people that maybe understand it better, but they have to be armed with the knowledge. I think that's really the key.
Knowledge is the key. Knowledge is power, absolutely. And being knowledgeable and aware of what, you know, is important and taking the time, and again, finding that sense of clarity is really essential. And again, I'm glad that you're doing this work, because it can be a blur for everybody. There's also, of course, this conversation about meat and whether meat is healthy. Now, of course, somebody would say maybe meat, it shouldn't be consumed at all. Others may say, well, you can have seafood, you can have chicken, you can lean chicken, this kind of thing. Tell us about the sort of idea about, from your perspective again, meat, and is it in fact healthy?
Sure. So to not have everyone think that I just magically figured all this out in one day either, my diet has changed over time as I tried to do what was right. At one point, I'd eat salads with some meat. I would try to eat lean meat until I realized that was really misguided. So if you ask an honest dentist, now the trick is the inside joke with the dentist, you got to find an honest one. The reality is they'll tell you that if you look at your dentition, your teeth and your mouth, we have more meat-eating teeth than we have teeth that are designed to eat other things. such as plants. Humans, our stomach is the same. High acidity level, it's designed really as a meat eater. And historically, humans have eaten meat primarily. Can we get away with eating other things? Yes. But it's a way to keep from starving. It's not necessarily what we were designed to do. And the problem is that as industry starts finding ways to do things, all of a sudden the message is, oh, it's plant-based. Well, that's not necessarily the whole story. First of all, you know, there's a doctor named Anthony Chaffee who says, plants are trying to kill you. That's how he says it, and he's absolutely right. That was a revelation to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? I knew about some of this, okay? There's a guy, basically, that in school essentially was told by his professor that, you know, of course, all these plants, they were learning about, you know, all these different things that were going on in the botanical world and how, you know, if you're trying to catch a rabbit to eat it, it can run away or maybe try to jump on you. But, you know, a plant can't do that. So what can it do? Plants have been around long before humans. How plants survive? Well, their only way is poisoning you. And the reality is most people don't grasp that, you know, even foods that we typically like are full of carcinogens. These are regular, quote-unquote, healthy vegetables. They're not really designed to be eaten. We can get away with it. We might be able to eat them for 20 years, but at some point there's an impact. And the thing is for people to start learning that it's not what you think. It's not what I've been taught. It's, you know, it's really we're primarily meat eaters. There are people out there that will go and eat only meat, 100%, and that's the answer. And I'm not as strict as that. I haven't gotten to that point, but I ate primarily meat-based. I couldn't lose weight. I realized after I paused and started looking at my own self, not just the people around me who I was helping, I realized I'd gained a lot of weight slowly over time to the point where you don't really notice until you really go on the scale and go, oh my goodness, how did this happen? And I couldn't seem to lose weight, not on a keto diet, not on any kind of more veggie type of diet, just couldn't do it. I mean, I have to starve myself and it still wouldn't work. Whereas when I switched to a primarily meat diet, I've now lost over 60 pounds in the last 9 months. I'm not hungry. I eat as much meat as I want. I still cheat by some standards because I do eat some vegetation. I will eat some sugar, but I avoid it. It's like having a cigar when someone has a birth. You could probably say it's still not good for you, but if you have it, you know, once in a rare while, it probably won't kill you right away.
Right.
So it's like that.
Well,
you know,
George
much of,
Burns, right? He would.
Oh yeah.
He would have been the first to see that. An anomaly, of course.
Absolutely, and you know, the reality is. Look, it's like if you look at things and say, well, if a person, two guys jump out of an airplane, one, the parachute works, the other one, it doesn't. But the one that doesn't somehow lands in a bunch of trees and survives. The other one, the parachute works, but he gets caught up in power lines and somehow grounds himself and electrocutes himself. Even though the person with the parachute didn't make it, the message isn't jump out of a plane without a parachute. You have to look at the whole thing in context. So the reality is, okay, let's think about all this. Okay, if you look at it and you think that, I mean, of the thousands of mushrooms, only a handful that are actually non-lethal or aren't going to give you some hallucinogenic response, there's a limited amount of vegetation that humans can actually eat and fungus like that or fungi. Koala bears, panda bears, they're vegetarians, but they eat a very specific diet. Horses, cows, giraffes, they're herbivores, but they don't eat each other's food. They eat very specific horses, grasses, and so forth. For humans to think that we can just go out and eat every piece of vegetation out there and call it a salad and that it's okay, we can get away with it, but long-term it can wreak havoc. And, you know, the problem with a lot of foods, especially if they're missing animal fats, is that to make them palatable, to make them help you feel full, they wind up putting all kinds of stuff in this food. You know, there's tons of sugar. You'd be shocked how many different foods you, if you go to your pantry, pull out what's there. Okay, peanut butter, which is a whole other thing. I stopped eating peanut butter for the most part decades ago when I worked in heart surgery for some reasons that we discovered as far as the link with the lectins in these peanuts. The reality is that, you know, look, if you go to a typical household with peanut butter, you pull out the thing, first ingredient is peanuts, second ingredient, sugar. You have a jar full of sugar, basically. It's everywhere. And
that fascinates me because I'm a peanut butter lover.
I was
scoop
addicted
it out
to
with
it.
A spoon,
I loved it. Yes,
bread.
That's me. That was me.
So there's
and
something
I,
in the lectin that...
So, yeah. So, I mean, This is the way I would tell you. So, Dr. Trek is, I mean, I believe what he was taught and what now he exposes, which is basically that, look, plants are trying to poison whoever eats them. If it's an insect, it'll probably kill the insect. If it's a small animal, it may get really sick. And a human might have low-grade inflammation or illness. Unless you eat something highly poisonous, you can probably get away with it. The reality is people just need a better understanding of all this. You can't just say, well, I can eat any kind of vegetation. It's way healthier than meat. That was prefaced on the idea that red meat was bad, cholesterol is bad, and those are just not accurate. They're no longer, it's been found that much of the data that was published was really, if not a lie, pretty close to a lie, because the researchers actually eliminated a lot of the other data that was there and just didn't publish the rest of the findings. So
I tell you, if Adam and Eve just didn't eat that apple.
I'm telling you. Everything in, you know, moderation, and you bring up fruits, you know. So it's been said that fruits are nature's candy. And that's the way you got to look at it. So nobody's going to go and eat 20 apples in a row. You'll get sick. The fiber, they'll make you stop eating. You just can't. But if you go and you turn it into, if you juice it and you turn it into apple juice, or you get orange juice, you get whatever kind of juice, you might have like 10 oranges or 10 apples in that. I used to love that as a kid. Now my understanding is, listen, that's not the right thing. Kid wants an apple, give him an apple. Okay. And even though today's apples don't have anywhere near the nutritional value they had 50 years ago, because they're all being bred to not bruise and to look shiny and beautiful, not so much for nutritional value. The reality is we were never intended to consume, you know, the quantity of fruit that are in a juiced container. So with small amounts, if you want to have a shot of whiskey, have one, don't have the whole bottle. It's like that. And there are things that may not outrightly be healthy for you, but if you very sporadically have it, you'll probably be fine. But you don't want to be drinking huge amounts of juices, consuming. And the problem with juice, again, or many other things that people look at, they go, well, it's natural. Well, there's a lot of natural hemlock is natural. I wouldn't suggest having any because it'll kill you. The reality is that anything that comes from a plant, the sugars of the plant, is fructose. If you have table sugar, it's more or less half glucose and half fructose that's mixed in there. If you have a soda in the United States, where this is still permissible, where it's not in some other countries, the sweetener is primarily fructose. And it's a fruit-derived sugar. Problem is, it has its own problems. Your liver metabolizes fructose. It's not metabolized direct glucose. And today, where it's never been seen before, you have young children who are being diagnosed with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because the liver is being damaged as if the child was an alcoholic, because essentially fructose chemically looks like an alcohol. Liver has to process it, and the liver just can't keep up. At some point, it starts getting damaged. So there's a lot of things that we've been taught are healthy, and the question is, are they in the not so much. And can you get away with drinking some of it? Maybe. That's sort of the framework to the conversation. It's like it's the picture's a lot bigger than you would think. You can't just say it's healthy or unhealthy. But for the most part, just because it comes from the ground or from nature doesn't mean it is. Meat, for the most part, is healthy. Red meat. There's nothing wrong with the cholesterol in red meat. Ansel Keys, who was the fellow who came up with what's called the lipid hypothesis, this all started around 1955 when President Eisenhower had a heart attack. Over his lifetime, he had several heart attacks, but this one was like major. No one had heart disease back in the 50s. It was unheard of. And suddenly the country was in an uproar because the president, you know, could have died. And what do we do? And this guy came out of the woodwork, and Ansel Keys became very famous. And he published research, which, again, long after he was gone from the scene, they found the raw data and realized his research was misleading. It didn't provide all the stuff that went against what he was saying. He just excluded. So this lipid hypothesis, which since the late 50s and 60s has plagued the framework of nutrition, is false. It's known to be false today. There's nothing, cholesterol per se isn't bad. Cholesterol values aren't necessarily bad. It's more complicated just looking at someone's LDL level, low density lipoprotein level, or total cholesterol and thinking that that's a problem. Much of the problems in heart disease, a leading killer, of course, worldwide, is triglyceride levels. And the trigger or the genesis of this comes from sugar consumption, not from fat consumption. So we've been told things that are not always truthful. We've had researchers that have been found to have published false information, misleading information, and everyone that benefits from selling things that aren't meat are still benefiting from it because the general population and many physicians and other healthcare providers still don't really, you know, grasp that they were misled. It's sad, but that's the reality.
So would you say we have a flawed healthcare system?
So I would say there's two things. So, you know, and it's not that there's some conspiracy theory and people are trying to make everyone sick, although you'd kind of think that sometimes, but it's more like, hey, if you're selling breakfast cereals loaded with sugar, I don't have to name any, just look at the package, you'll be shocked, and have vegetable oils, which are seed oils, another class of things that are completely unhealthy. If you saw where they made these quote-unquote healthy vegetable oils, it looks like a refinery that makes motor oil. In fact, one of the first seed oils, if not the first, was cottonseed oil, and the first customer to buy it was Ford Motor Company. It was used as an engine lubricant. Not so much later they figure out how to make it, kind of clarify it so it doesn't look like motor oil, and people would start using it. So the nutrition industry essentially doesn't get any pushback from the healthcare industry or limited amounts because it generates business for them. The healthcare industry, unfortunately, has turned into something very different, even when I worked at it, in that, you know, hospitals have the standard of care. Person, for example, has high cholesterol, they want to prescribe a statin. So that's a cholesterol-lowering medication. But that could be misguided because it works very poorly as what's called a primary line treatment. In other words, if you've never had a heart attack or stroke, you probably aren't going to benefit at all or very little from a medication that has all kinds of side effects. Yet, why do doctors prescribe this in massive quantities to people who haven't already had? And if you already had one of these conditions, you had a heart attack, there may be a benefit. But if you haven't, go ahead.
I was going to say, would there be a benefit if you have a sort of a family history, maybe, where the grandparent or the father or somebody has had heart-related situations, heart attacks? Is it a preventative in a way? So
not so much. And the reality is, can't say never, but the reality is that heart disease in large part is consumed by... So heart disease, diabetes, and they call diabetes disease, these are all really responsive. They're metabolic, or essentially how your body consumes energy. Dysregulation. So diabetes right now, type 2 diabetes, which is basically used to be called adult onset. It's something you acquire. Your body's resistance to actual insulin that's produced so you can actually metabolize sugars that you're consuming. We've taken so much sugar during our lifetime. Ever since we're babies, we're bombarded with sugar. Our insulin levels are through the roof. And eventually your body says, well, you can't deal with this anymore. And you're diagnosed diabetic. You know, years ago, certainly
and
when I was an undergrad.
Dementia, right? Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Dementia,
so yes. So Alzheimer's is now being called type 3 diabetes.
Right. Okay?
And a lot of physicians have adopted that. And the type 2 diabetes can't be called adult onset anymore because kids in school have it. The reality is it really, and all they do is get medication. The answer is no, it's generally reversible. We have to massively cut out the sugar. And the problem is that the institutional sort of framework is, you know, you have to medicate the patient. You have to basically, the appearance is that, well, these are chronic conditions and we can treat them. And then when that medication doesn't work, we'll add a second and third. Rather than going to the root cause and saying, you know, we can maybe just reverse some of this, if not all of the diabetic response, by just eliminating sugar from the diet for someone that's that sick, because that will lead to heart disease and strokes and cancer. Cancer loves sugar and needs all cancers, for the most part, need sugar. So that's what's broken about it. We're not looking at root causes. Things have changed. The messages, people need to empower themselves.
That's exactly right.
We should all be advocates for our own health. Best, if folks want to learn more for more information and look for the Human Health Strategies link or even visit humanhealthstrategies.com, they could also go to ororangebusinessstrategies.com as well, right?
That's correct. So it's on the Business Strategies website, but to make it a little easier, we set up a direct URL to the page. You go to the bottom. We're asked why so many people are unhealthy or unwell, and click the Learn More button, and it'll send you to essentially various pages with different topics. And these are all, you know, videos and presentations by doctors and scientists that give the information that'll help empower people to help discuss this with their healthcare practitioners and make proper decisions for themselves with their unique situation.
Want to spell that for everybody as well. It is, of course, www.roarange, and then the word business, and then strategies.com. And again, you can also check out humanhealthstrategies.com. Joe, this was really terrific. Great information, useful, impactful, can be life-changing on so many different levels. And I want to let the audience know that this episode is recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it again. You can also share the link with those you think might also benefit from this. And I have a million more questions that are running through my mind. So hopefully we will chat again soon, expand some more, maybe even hear some case studies, testimonials. But this was really a terrific way to kick off a week with good, relevant, important knowledge building about our own health and wellness and about the way we should be advocates for our health. And it starts with everything we put in our mouth. Thanks for stopping by Close Up Radio, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure here as well, Jim. Terrific. Thank you.
All right. You take care, and we'll chat again real soon. Folks, we appreciate Joe being here. We also appreciate you, and hopefully you got some good information out of this episode, again, recorded in its entirety in full. For everybody here, this is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, and inviting you to stay right there. Don't move an inch. Go get some hot tea. Get ready. I'll be back in 30 minutes with another incredible guest right here live on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.